Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. So I've got a story for you this morning about ice skating on Cottage Grove Lake and several other of the lakes that we've got around here and there in the Willamette Valley. Can you imagine doing that? In 1949, for two solid months, it was possible. A historic cold snap let many Willamette Valley residents try out the sport for the first and, for many, the only time. It doesn't seem to have happened since then. This story was first published on September 23rd, 2009. Here we go. Earlier this year, that is January 2009, Western Oregon got a brief cold snap, along with enough snow to close down Interstate 5 and freeze a water pipe or two. But it was nothing compared with what Western Oregon was going through 50 years ago. Those of you old enough to remember the winter of 1948-49 know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you even traveled to Cottage Grove Lake to join the crowd of 1,500 people gliding around on the 6 to 10 inch thick ice covering the 100-acre reservoir from shore to shore. If all this is before your time, perhaps you always thought Dad and Grandpa were telling tall tales when they described skating on the Truax ponds near Riverside or the Springfield Mill Race. Well, they weren't. It happened. What's more, it went on for a month and a half. The ugly weather started on December 12th, 1948, according to the back issues of the Cottage Grove Sentinel. By the end of January, the cold spell had set a record, lasting for 45 days and plunging to 1 degree below zero on January 24th, 1949. That's in the Willamette Valley, which I've lived in or around for my entire life. I'm in my middle 40s right now, and I have never even seen it below 10 degrees, much less zero. Skaters started plying the frozen lake on January 10th, when the mercury plunged as low as 7 degrees for the first time. Oregon's timber-based economy skidded to a halt. The mills couldn't function in zero-degree weather. Log trucks and skid loaders were hard put to avoid sliding off the narrow, twisting logging roads and landings that they plied during normal weather. Freeze everything solid, and work in the woods was even more of a suicide run than before. And, of course, the schools were closed, so a whole lot of people had nothing to do but weld old files onto the trucks of their roller skates and head out to the lake. Skaters of all ages hit the lake, from toddlers to 91-year-old A.L. Woodard, who, according to the Sentinel, took off across the lake where it was a mile from shore to shore and returned as though it were a daily habit. It wasn't the coldest the valley had gotten. Christmas Eve in 1924 saw 7 degrees below zero. Nor the most snow, 15 inches were on the ground on February 24th, 1917, but no other cold snap had ever come within a month of this one's duration. It lasted virtually the entire winter. It wasn't until February 16th that warm, rainy weather roared into the valley as suddenly as the cold had come, melting the lake and sparking fears of more catastrophic flooding. Remember, this was 1 year after the Great Flood of 48 drenched downtown Portland and swept away the town of Vanport. Well, the flooding never materialized, though, at least not that year. Mother Nature must have figured Oregonians had taken enough abuse for one winter. But it was definitely one for the record books. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.